that song, Every Praise to Our God. And I love the bit where we state very powerfully from our hearts as we're singing, God, my Saviour, God, my Healer, God, my Deliverer. Yes, He is. That's good, isn't it? Yes, He is. He is my Saviour. He is my Deliverer. He is my Healer. So, does God heal today? Well, I have to say, as a new Christian many years ago, I can remember reading for myself from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, where it boldly states, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, the same Jesus that you read in the pages of the gospel that did amazing things is the same Jesus that can do awesome things today. And He will continue to do awesome things throughout all eternity. Why? Because He is the same, He is eternal, He is the Lord, and there's no one who can match Him. So does God heal today? Well, I believe He certainly does. As a baby Christian, as a newborn Christian, I can remember being in youth custody many, many years ago, and a lady came in to visit me from a local church of England called Margaret. And Margaret came in, and she said one particular, I think it was the Thursday she came in, she said, my husband John is in a lot of pain. We're off to this New Wine Christian camp thing on the weekend, and he's in a lot of tooth pain at the moment, and you know, I'd really appreciate if you could pray for him. He's just been to see the dentist, and the dentist has taken an x-ray, and it looks like the tooth is about gone, and the dentist isn't sure whether to put it out or not, and there's just a little bit of, let's see how this thing plays out. So the dentist gave John some antibiotics for his mouth and some painkillers, but however, John was in a lot of pain. And because I was a new Christian, because I wasn't conditioned by anything like, well, it might not happen, and you know, well, it doesn't always happen like this. I just read the Bible. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there was no one saying like, ah, I don't believe that. I just read the Bible and believed it. So I got on my knees in my little cell, and I said, God, will You do something for John Wyatt? Will You give him a new tooth? That's all I prayed. And I believed it in Jesus' name. Well, after the weekend, Margaret came back in to see me a week later. And she said, you wouldn't believe this. John has gone to the dentist, and the pain is gone. The dentist has taken another x-ray and said, John, I don't understand it, but here are the two x-rays. He said, it's like you've got a new tooth. Amen. And then there was a lad there in the prison who I led to the Lord. He was called Charlie. And he really was called Charlie. He was from Malaysia, Charlie Tan. And Charlie gave his life to Jesus. And not long after that, he worked in the prison kitchen with me. And one day he didn't turn up for work, and so I went down at lunchtime, and because I was privileged, I was able to look through the little cell door, and I said, Charlie, why aren't you at work? And he said, I can't, I'm not well. And I said, what's wrong with you? And he peeled up his t-shirt, and his back was covered in what looked like psoriasis, terrible sores, almost like a plowed field. It looked absolutely awful. And he said, it's some kind of skin disease, and they put me in isolation. And I said, well, hang on a second. I went away, got another friend who was a Christian, and we came back, and we knew that the Bible says that they should lay hands on the sick. But we couldn't lay hands on them because there was a great big solid steel prison door between us. But I said, Charlie, you put your hand up to the little Judas hole, and we'll put our hands on the other side, and we prayed in the name of Jesus that God would heal up his back. And that's all we prayed. Well, the very next morning, Charlie came whistling, singing Majesty or something, worship his Majesty, into the kitchen. And we looked at him, and he pulled up his t-shirt, and his back was completely healed. That's Jesus. Does God heal? When I was at Newen, when we were planting our first church, there was a lady there called Joan. The enemy went to visit her one day, and she said, will you pray for me? And she had this great big kind of cyst on her eye, and it was obviously causing her a lot of distress, and she wasn't happy. She'd been to see the consultant. And the consultant said, you know, I'm going to have to operate on this, but it'll be like a day surgery thing, but we can sort it out for you. And Joan said, I know that they can do that, but she said, will you pray for me? So Lynn and me laid hands on her, and we prayed for her in the name of Jesus. I prophesied over her and said, no knife will touch this eye in Jesus' name, be healed. And do you know what? She went to see the consultant, and on the journey to see the consultant, the cyst had disappeared, and the consultant looked at it and he said, there is no reason for me to take my knife to your eye. How about that? In Jesus' name. God can do these things. I remember a friend of ours when we were in another church who had cancer. She'd had cancer twice and survived that, and this was now a third bout of cancer, and she was very worried and concerned. And I gave myself to fasting and praying for her, and so did others in the church. And one morning, at probably about 3 o'clock in the morning, I sat bolt upright in bed, and the words from Psalm 118 came to me, I shall not die but live. And I knew it was a word for Pat. And so I had to be very patient. So from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning, I had to wait. I think 6 o'clock is pretty early. I'm sure you don't want a phone call for me at 6 in the morning. But hey, if you're under the sentence of cancer and someone's got a word from God for you, it doesn't matter what time they call, I guess, really. And I gave her this word, and God healed her and blessed her, and she survived another 7 years or so and died of something else later in old age. But God is a healer, and I've discovered that. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what does the Bible tell us about healing? Well, the Bible is full of healing promises. There are recorded accounts of divine healing and directions for healing ministry found in the Bible. We need to be sure of this, that the Word of God promises us healing. Exodus chapter 23 says in verse 25, worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. It seems that when we worship God and we abandon our lives to God Almighty and we put our trust and our faith in him, we can also then receive from him as we worship him healing. Psalm 41, verse 3. The Lord will sustain him on his sickbed and restore him from his bed of illness. Let's just slow this one down. Psalm 41, verse 3. Remember if you can. You see, I'm not promising that a child of God won't ever get sick. I'm not saying that will happen because I'm a child of God as much as anybody else, and I know what it is to go through times of sickness. Sometimes we go through seasons of sickness in life. Sometimes that happens. However, God says in Psalm 41, verse 3, that he will sustain us in times of sickness. And he says in Psalm 41, verse 3, that he will not only sustain us when we're in a season of sickness, but he will also restore us. So I'm not saying to you this morning that there's some kind of magical talisman over you, that you will, as a child of God, never, ever, ever feel a common cold or have aches and pains. But what I am saying is this, as we trust God, as we worship God, that even in dark seasons, and remember the psalmist said, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because our God is a present God. So God says, I will be present, and he will turn our trial today into tomorrow's testimony for his glory. He can do that. He can take a mess and make a message out of it for his glory. And so God says, I will sustain you, I will restore you. There's much to be said about healing in the Bible. And then we need to consider, the Bible tells us about healing, but we also need to consider the fact that healing is part of the character of God. God revealed his character to his people in the Old Testament. And he did that particularly by his name Jehovah. And Jehovah means the eternal, self-existent one, in all his fullness, the glorious one. Jehovah, then the name Jehovah was then kind of added to a what we call a compound name of God. So added to a characteristic, or you could say a nature of God, a facet of God. And because the Old Testament people didn't know Jesus, and remember, Jesus is the full expression of the Father, we know Jesus. And in knowing Jesus, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The saints of the Old Testament didn't see Jesus. So they were looking at something else. They were holding on to something else. And so God revealed himself through his compound names, his character names. And we see that God is revealed as Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord who can provide for you. Jehovah Nisi, I am the Lord, your banner flying over you. I am Jehovah Shammah, God who is always present. I am Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord who is your righteousness. I am Jehovah Rohi, I am the God who is your great shepherd. I am Jehovah Shalom, I am your peace. And I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you, taken from Exodus 15, verse 26. I am the Lord who heals you. That's what the scripture says. So we're comforted by God's character, which is healing in nature, and we are also assured of his powerful, promised, awesome healing as well. I am the Lord who heals you, Exodus 15, 26. But we need to understand that this character healing of God, this promise of God, actually is conditional. We need to understand this because God is not mocked, and you can't turn God on and off, and you can't rub a magic lamp and expect God to do amazing things and then you just go off and please yourself. This is a covenant thing. This is an agreement thing. This is us in relationship with God. And so God says in Exodus 15, the whole verse, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. So we need to listen to God. We need to live right before God. We need to be more abiding children of God. And if we live according to these things, if we live in faith and relationship with God, if we live fulfilling this verse, these conditions, then we can know the very nature of our Father is that he is a healing God. He's a peace-giving God. He's a God that's always there. He is our banner. He is our righteousness. He's an awesome God. He is Jehovah. He is the self-existent one in all his fullness. There's no one like him. It's his nature to be a healer. The Old Testament gives us quite a few examples of healing. I like the example of two brothers. An older brother that was angry, really angry with his younger brother. The younger brother that was a cheat, scammer, Esau and Jacob. There was a terrible family rift. It was so bad. One went one way and one stayed at home. And it was so bad at one point, it seemed like the older brother was going to kill his younger brother. Hey, that's a bad family split when that happens. And yet the Bible tells us that God in his grace and his mercy, for a passage of time, brought healing in that family. What a wonderful thing to read in the scripture about these two brothers, about like loggerheads, coming together again and kind of rejoicing. And as they back together and they hug one another, they're in the wilderness and then went back to live with one another again. See, God is a healer and he can bring emotional healing and he can bring actually family healing. He can bring healing into churches. He can bring healing into families and into communities. He's a healer. And then we read about the bitter water at Marah. Hey, the people were desperate for water. They were absolutely desperate for something to drink, and I can imagine these people running down to the water's edge, and some of them scooping up the water and spitting it out because it was bitter, and it was probably kind of poisonous and would infect them, and maybe even kill them. And they couldn't drink the water, and then Moses prays, and God says, "Take that piece of wood and throw it in the water." Sounds like a crazy thing to do, but as the piece of wood is thrown into the water, suddenly there's divine water treatment. Suddenly. It's all turned around, and the water that was bitter becomes sweet and life-giving. Sometimes people wonder about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Seems a stupid thing that someone should be nailed to the cross and that kind of makes everything right, but it does. Because the Bible says that through the cross, God has reconciled us back to himself through the blood of his Son that was spent upon the cross of Calvary. See, God can take things that seem stupid to us and crazy to us and actually bring about something marvelous for us as well. There was a man called Naaman in the Old Testament who had leprosy. Back in the days of the Old Testament, if you had leprosy, it was a death sentence. And yet the prophet told him to go to the River Jordan. Muddy river. Duck yourself 7 times in the water. That sounds crazy. But in the end, he went and did it. And the Bible says that when he came up for the 7th time, all that leprosy that was eating away his skin had washed away, and he was healed. Amazing. God can do these things. But what about Hezekiah? There's Hezekiah. He's on his bed of sickness and he's deathly sick. He's really, really, really poorly. And the prophet comes along, Isaiah, says, hey, you better take the house in order because like God's calling you home. And then the prophet went away. And Hezekiah thought to himself, you know what, I kind of enjoy living. And I've enjoyed my life so far, and I've got there's still some things for me to do in life, and I'm not quite ready yet to go to heaven. So he prayed to God and said, God, I don't really want to die just yet. I know I'm sick, and I just heard his word, I'm going to die, but I'm not ready yet to die. So he prayed. God was merciful. And as Isaiah was walking out of the palace, literally, God said to him, hey, turn around. I've got a word, another word for this king. And he went back and said, hey, listen. This is the word of the Lord. You're not going to die after all. You've got another 15 years. Anybody else like 15 years? That's a good time, isn't it? When you're feeling like you're on your deathbed. And you've got 15 years. And what's more, I'm going to help you defeat your enemies. What a marvelous word from God. So the Old Testament has examples of God healing. And then we go into the ministry of Jesus. Jesus taught in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. See, Jesus boldly proclaimed and he demonstrated the kingdom of God. We need to understand that the Greek word for kingdom is basileia. And it doesn't just mean kingdom in the sense of a throne. It doesn't just mean kingdom in sense of a political or a geographical kind of arena, because that's what we often think about kingdom, the kingdom of such and such. It doesn't mean that. It means more than it can mean that, but it means more than that. There's another dimension. It means the activity of reigning. The activity of reigning. And we know that Jesus didn't set up an earthly throne. We know that he didn't kind of mark out a boundary and say, this is my boundary, this is my kingdom, thank you very much, in a political or a geographical sense. But what he did do was reign. And the activity of his reign was clearly seen. Why? Because he cast out demons. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He opened up the eyes of the blind. He did amazing things for people. This was the activity of him reigning. Why? Because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And of his kingdom there should be no end. He's all powerful. Now there's a future aspect to God's kingdom. One that I hope that all of us are looking forward to as God's children. You see, there is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody believe in that this morning? Say amen. Good, I'm in good company. Jesus is coming back again, and it could be sooner than most of us think. And when that happens, God is going to begin to wrap things up. History as we know it is going to be wrapped up. And there will be, whether people like it or not, because you can't carve out bits of the Bible you don't like, there will be a day of judgment. That's going to happen. And those that have rejected Christ will unfortunately be cast away from God into a place called hell. Not just for a short period of time whilst people are praying for them, but they will be cast into hell for all eternity. And it's a fearful place to go. But for believers, for those that love Jesus, for those that worship Jesus, for those that follow Jesus, We have the wonder of heaven to look forward to. Heaven is a place of rejoicing. Heaven is a place of reward. It's going to be a place of reunions as well. Loved ones that have loved Jesus, that have gone before us, you're going to meet them again. The saints of God, Moses, Paul, Elisha, Amos, the other prophets, people that you heard about and read about and would long to talk to, you're going to be able to talk to them because you're going to meet them in heaven one day. Heaven is a marvelous place. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. And we can be prepared by having a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we get to heaven, believers are going to have new bodies. We're going to feel no more pain. There's going to be no more hurt, no more suffering, no more tears. Sorrow will be turned into wonderful joy in the presence of God forever. Isn't that a marvelous hope for all of us that have faith in Christ? That's the future aspect of God's kingdom. But there's a present aspect as well. You see, although we long for the future aspect of God's kingdom, we see around us signs of the new age, this amazing kingdom of God where people are getting healed and blessed. We're seeing that all around us. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 61, Jesus quoted this when he went to the synagogue one day. He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be free. He has sent me to tell those that mourn that the time of the Lord's favour has come." And then he sat down and everybody looked at him, what we had read, all of it, and he sat down and then he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your sight." Because Jesus is the anointed one. And so Jesus boldly preached the kingdom of God. He preached the rule and the reign of our God. And he confirmed it with the power of the Holy Spirit working through him. And that's why 25% of the Gospels are filled with healing accounts of this amazing kingdom of God being unleashed upon earth, where people receive blessing, where there's transformation, where there's hurt being healed, where there's brokenness being restored and made whole again, where even dead people are brought back to life. This is amazing. Jesus did all these things. And remember, Jesus said that we also would do these things as well. He said, "You'll do these things as well. The same Spirit that dwelt in Christ lives in me." That's awesome, isn't it? The same Spirit that lived in Jesus and operated through Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, lives in you. And his desire is that actually he can flow through you to the character of God, the love of God, the compassion of God, and the healing of God can flow through you into your family, into your church, into the very community. Jesus commissioned 12 disciples, Matthew chapter 10. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, so freely give. And then we know probably a very familiar passage of scripture from the end of Mark's gospel. Jesus is now commissioning his disciples. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. When they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well." In church history, there's been a pattern of healing ever since Jesus went back to heaven. Peter and John went to pray at the temple in Acts chapter 3. They found a man there who'd been a cripple for years and years and years. And his family used to bring him. And they would put him at the temple gate called Beautiful. And then they'd leave him there all day. And he would beg for, at his existence, basically. And I guess, you know, Peter and John might have seen him many, many times. But something happened this day. As they went past into the temple to pray, they saw him. They didn't just kind of see him, but they really saw him. And they saw his existence, and they had such compassion in their heart, and faith welled up in them. And Peter looked at the man, and the man looked at Peter. And the man thought that Peter was going to give him something, you know, so he could buy some bread or buy food or whatever it might be. And then Peter said, listen, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. And taking the man by the hand, he helped him up. And the man got up, and he walked, and he left, and he praised God. And his life was transformed. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, and we don't have time to go through all the different incidences, but if you read Acts for yourself, and it'll take you about an hour to read the book of Acts, but if you read through the book of Acts, and if you highlight it every time there was a miracle or healing, there'll be lots of little highlights in your Bible pages. Because the book of Acts is filled with God. It's the act of the Holy Spirit working through the early church. Irenaeus, an early church leader, wrote and said, those who are in the truth, his disciples, receiving grace from him, do in his name perform miracles so as to promote the welfare of other men, according to the gift which each one has received from him. For some do certainly and truly drive out devils, so that those who have been thus cleansed from evil spirits frequently both believe in Christ and join themselves to the church. Others have foreknowledge of things to come. They see visions and utter prophetic expressions. Others still heal the sick by laying their hands upon them, and they are made whole. Yea, moreover, as I have said, the dead are raised up and remain among us for many years. Another early church fathers have also testified to the healing power of God. I'll draw to a close. I shared this with you before, but it's worth mentioning again. Just a couple of years ago, I was at Gloucester Hospital. Lynn was in for a minor surgery, and as I was walking along the corridor, this guy was wheeled in a wheelchair with a gown on and going down for a CT scan or MRI by some kind of scan. And the person kind of looked at me and kind of looked vacant and smiled. But because I was so kind of preoccupied with getting back to Lynn, because she was pretty poorly at that point, I kind of missed the moment. And then a couple of days later, I had a phone call from a friend of ours, Jackie, and she said, Thomas saw you in the hospital. I said, was that Thomas in the wheelchair? She said, yes. And then she started crying on the phone, explaining that Thomas was really, really ill. And it all started really in the August of 2016, when Thomas had severe chest pains. He went to an emergency unit in Gloucester Hospital. He went actually back several times over a couple of weeks, and they put it down to all sorts of things, but nothing really particularly serious. And then he was admitted to hospital on the 25th of September. After spending time in two hospitals for over 5 weeks, he had two painful, very painful biopsy operations, lots of CT and MRI scans and x-rays, and was finally diagnosed with a great big tumour in his chest. The tumour had grown like an S-shape around his heart and his lungs, and it was pretty serious. It was a rare kind of tumour, and they were very concerned for him. Of course, we were praying, and literally friends around the world were praying for Tom. And Lynn and me were particularly praying because Tom was the youngest witness at our wedding. When we got married, he was just a babe in arms. His mum and dad were witnesses to us signing registry forms, and Tom was there as a babe in arms. So we'd known him before he was born and known him up to now. And so we were particularly praying for him. He had a beautiful wife, beautiful little daughter, and another baby on the way. And medically speaking, it looked very, very serious. But we believed that our God is the God of the even now, that God can heal. And so we prayed, and Tom prayed, and the family prayed. We fasted. I sent him messages almost every morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning, when he was awake and worrying in the hospital. I sent these messages and scriptures and tried to bolster his faith. And then on the 13th of December, Tom had a big operation at Bristol Hospital, where they do heart surgery, and they opened up his chest cavity, great big scar there, and they took out this massive tumour that had wrapped itself around his heart and his lungs. Well, throughout that time, as I said, we were praying and believing that God can use medical science, and he can do divine healing, and he can marry the two together, and God can do that. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for nurses and for the National Health Service in this country. Thank God for them, because God uses the National Health, but he also does divine healing, and he can combine the two things. But ultimately, God is our healer. So we believe that. But on the 12th of January 2017, I tell you, we jumped for joy. We jumped for joy. Why? Because the doctors gave Tom the all clear from cancer. And today, he's serving God in the Assemblies of God Church in Gloucester. His now second baby is around, and he's got two lovely little daughters. And he testified to the fact that God is a healing God and changed his life. He was on death's door. It so looked like that, but God turned it all around. Well, I hope that after listening to this message this morning, you will conclude that God is your healer. I can't make you believe. I can only share what the Bible teaches. I can only testify to what I've seen with my very eyes. I can't make you believe. You have to choose to accept the word of God, what it says, or you can reject it. That's your choice. But if you accept the word of God and believe today that the promises of God and the character of God is that he is a healing God, I tell you something amazing can happen this morning for you. So healing in practice is simple. There's nothing theatrical about it. We know that Jesus was moved with compassion for those that were sick. And in this church, we are moved with compassion for those that are chronically sick. And for those that are feeling aches and pains, we're moved with compassion. We care. Why? Because we love you. We love one another. And so in this church, we not only believe that our God is a healing God, but we also believe that God instructs us to pray for those that are sick. And we believe that if we pray for those that are sick and we follow the teaching of the Word of God and we stand on faith in God's promises, we believe that miracles can happen at Millwall Hill Church. How do we pray? Well, we lay hands upon people gently and we pray in the name above all names, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given him the name above every name. And so it's in that name of the Lord Jesus Christ we would pray for people in this church. And as we pray in the name of Jesus, we believe that every sickness, every disease, everything that can afflict the soul of man, everything that comes against us to bring misery and suffering into our lives, we believe that in the name of Jesus there can be transformation. God, my healer. God, my saviour. God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. We also anoint people with oil. The Bible tells us, and there's a little bottle of oil here, the Bible tells us that those that are sick in James chapter 5 can call upon the leaders of the church. And the leaders of the church can take anointing oil and anoint people with oil and pray for them in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says very simply that if people ask to be anointed because they're feeling ill, and if they are anointed with oil in the name of Jesus, the Bible says, the scripture clearly says that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well and the Lord will raise them up. It takes faith to say, can you anoint me with oil? And it takes faith for me to open up the bottle and put a bit of oil on your forehead and pray for you in the name of Jesus. But you see, but when we join our faith together, something happens. God steps in, and God can do a miracle. And I believe today, this morning, I believe that God can do amazing things amongst us. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 says, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. So we're going to worship God now, and we're going to break bread together. We're going to sing a song, and as we get into the song, I'm going to invite you to leave your chair and come and break bread up in front this morning. Take some bread and wine. The bread that's broken signifies the broken body of our Lord Jesus, who loved us and died.